Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of the Psalms. And the 12th Psalm is where we'll be looking this morning. The 12th Psalm. And we're focusing in on verses 6 and 7. And the title for the message this morning is Mining in God's Word. And I'm sure, you know, living in Perth here, you're all aware of what mining is. I don't think I need to explain that one. But there's a particular type of mining that we often neglect to do, and it's something that we're all supposed to be doing, and that is mining in God's Word. And so the theme for this morning is mining in the precious Word of God. So the 12th Psalm in verses 6 and 7 we read, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Heavenly Father, we pray you bless our time in your word this morning. We pray that you challenge our hearts about the need to be diligent as students of your word. Father, we pray that you'd also bless our time as we come later to the observance of the Lord's Supper. We pray that our hearts would be prepared and in right relationship with you as we observe this memorial ordinance. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the passage before us, we're going to be looking at the precious Word of God under three main headings, okay? Firstly, the purity of God's Word, then we'll look at the preservation of God's Word, and then lastly, the prospecting in God's Word. That's some good alliteration for you, and I'm sure my pastor back home would be very happy with that. He's fond of alliteration. So, purity, preservation, and prospecting. Many people simply don't take the Bible seriously. And that goes for many Christians too. Of course, we say that the Bible is immeasurably valuable, but we don't read it that way. And that's often the approach for professing Christians is, if you ask them, you know, how valuable is the Word of God? Oh, it's immeasurably valuable. So how often do you read it? Well... You know, when I'm in distress, I go to my Bible and I look for a piece of advice from God. So I go like this, and I hope it falls on something helpful for me. And that's the approach of many people to the Word of God. Or there's the slightly more diligent Christian who is found most of the time to be having some time in the Word of God each day. And most of the time they will set aside time to read the Word. But if they come across something they don't understand, they don't search it out, they just pass over it and keep moving. Or if there's something that requires a little bit more effort in study to really draw out the deeper truths in there, well, that's for the preacher to do, and so we don't bother with that. So they approach the Word of God as though someone was approaching a particular area prospecting for gold, and all they went there with was a little bit of a brush, to just brush over the surface, and whatever comes easily off the surface, that's all they want to take. And if you were looking to prospect for gold, you would go with much more equipment. You would prepare yourself to do some deep diving, some real searching. But many Christians approach the Word of God with that mindset that we brush the surface, but we don't do any deeper searching. And so this morning I want to encourage you to have an enthusiastic and teachable approach to your personal Bible reading, okay? And so firstly, as I said, the first thing we note in this passage is the purity of God's Word. And we see that in verse 6 there. The words of the Lord are pure words. They're pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Notice that it says the words of the Lord. This is not just stating solely that the a word of the Lord or that specifically the Bible is pure, but every word of God that he has ever spoken is pure. Okay, we take it by faith that the Bible is pure because all the words of God that he has ever spoken are pure words. The words of the Lord are pure words, and that is the character of this word. But for today, we will focus on the Bible specifically, okay? So the word Lord here is in capitals in the verse. The words of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, that's clearly referring to Jehovah. And this is the title given to God as the eternal, self-existent one. And as the eternal, self-existent one, the one who never passes away, his words are like his character. They will never pass away. The Bible tells us that not one jot or tittle shall pass away until all these things be fulfilled. The word of God will stand forever. Why? Because God, the eternal, self-existent one, will stand forever. And he will uphold his word forever. So the very character or nature of the word of God is based in the character and nature of God himself. Okay? We believe the word of God is absolutely true and that we can trust it from this age and into eternity future because we know who gave the word. So the whole our whole confidence in the Bible is predicated on our understanding of who God is. Because we know who God is, we can trust his word. His word is eternally true and unchanging. The words of the Lord are pure words. That's another reference to the character of this word, the purified word of God. The word pure indicates a straining process. And that comes through as he uses a visual for us. He says, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And this refers to heating up a metal and melting it down in order to remove all the junk material from the metal. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I'd say most of you are, but when you go out prospecting for gold and silver and that sort of thing, what you won't tend to find is a nice gold bullion bar weighing about a kilo that's already purified, okay? That's not the way you find it in its natural element. You find it in an ore form that often it's there hidden in the crevices of another rock. And you have to extract it from there and try and separate all the junk material in order to get to just gold or just silver. You might see a nice vein of silver running through a rock there, okay? But it doesn't just happily extract itself into a nice bucket for you in pure form. You have to work at extracting that. And part of the process of purifying metals involves extreme heat to melt it down. And what happens is as the metal is melted down, there is a separation that naturally forms between what the Bible calls dross, what a lot of people nowadays call the slag. It sits on the top. It's a terrible term, the slag. But it forms on the top there, almost like the skin on milk that has been heated and then left on the countertop. You know, you come back to it 5 minutes later and you take your spoon and you'll scrape a skin off the top. Well, when you melt down impure metals, the junk begins to separate and form another layer that has to be removed. That's part of this purifying process. That is how metal is purified. And so he's using this as a picture for us and saying, the word of God is so pure, it's like you've done that process where you've heated the metal up, you've heated the silver up and extracted all the junk from it. But you haven't done that just once or twice. You've done it seven times. Okay, and think of how pure your silver will be after that. And he says, that is a comparison I'm making Okay, between this pure silver that's been purified seven times, which is more than you would ever need to really do this, but that is how pure the Word of God is. Now, it is a little bit of a poor symbol there only in this fact, and that is that metal must be heated up and have the junk extracted from it before it becomes pure. But the Word of God never contained any impurities, so it never had to be refined. But he's drawing a similarity between the finished product of the purified silver and the already pure Word of God. So while the Word of God doesn't have any impurities that need to be removed, this verse does liken the Word of God to a metal that has already undergone this process and is therefore free of any useless junk. Did you know that? The Word of God is free from useless junk. Every word of God is profitable. It is. It's profitable for you. And sometimes you're going to read sections and think, well, what on earth am I going to learn from that? There's a whole list of names there that mean nothing to me. And you're going to have to do some real mining work. You're going to have to extract the gold from that passage, but it's going to require a lot of work. You can't just dust over it with a brush. That's the way it is. In days gone by, people used to have brass mirrors. How many of you have seen a brass mirror at any time in your life? Or a brass plate that was polished so well that you could see your own reflection in it? Before they had mirrors like we have them today, they used highly polished metals, and brass was quite a common one, that was to give a reflection to the person who looked in there. Now, what sort of a reflection do you think the individual is going to get out of a brass plate that's full of contaminants, that's full of junk, that hasn't been properly refined? It's not going to be a very accurate reflection, is it? No. So the purer the metal, the better the reflection. Correct? So, if the Word of God is pure, pure as silver that's been purified seven times, then you can understand why James chapter 1, verse 23 to 25 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So the Word of God is likened to silver that's been purified seven times in the Old Testament here, and then you come to the New Testament and the Word of God is likened to a mirror that we look into, and when we look into the Word of God, we go, boy, I look ugly. Because the Bible perfectly reflects back to us our own imperfections, our own sin. Okay, the areas where we fail, where we falter. And the Bible says that as a student of God's Word, you ought to be such a student that when you look into this Word, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, when you look at this perfect reflection of yourself and you see what sort of person you are, it should prompt you to action, to make some changes. It should prompt you to follow the Word as the verse says, being not a forgetful hearer but a doer. Okay? The individual who looks into the Word of God and reads it and says that's what God's Word says and then makes no changes, they're like the person who looks in that mirror and goes, boy, you know, I can see, I look terrible. I just rolled out of bed. And then they just walk away and forget all about it and go out through their day and they make no changes. If you've seen people like that, they come into work and you think, boy, he looks like he just rolled out of bed, fell into his trousers and came into work. That's an unprepared individual. That's someone who has not acted upon the reflection that they saw in the mirror as they went past. And that's what we are likened to when we take the Word of God and we do this surface little brush and we go, oh yeah, okay, all right. And then off we go and we do nothing about it. The Word of God is pure, which means the reflection it gives you is 100% accurate. If the Word of God challenges you about something, it's never wrong. Then it's incumbent upon you to act upon that, to do something about it. This is the Word of God. It is the pure Word. The Word of God is tried. Again, that's a reference to that refining process. But the Word of God being tried indicates two important things. The first thing is a process of purging. Okay, again, when metal is purified, it is often the extreme heat that removes certain contaminants from the metal there. The Word of God is as pure as silver, which has been purified 7 times. So again, it's very, very pure. But the second thing, it is a tested Word. That is indicated in that word tried as well. It is a tested word. That means the Word of God has been with us for 2,000 years. And in that time, it has been put to the test. It has been both challenged by critics and tested by men and women of faith. And the critics have found they could not fault it. And those who have tested it by faith have found that it held firm. Okay, it has been tried, it has been tested, it has been put to the test and has not failed, it has not broken. The Word of God has withstood the test of time, the attacks of the skeptics, and is still perfect in its entirety. Even though it has passed through persecutions, criticism, opposition, attempts of the devil to corrupt it through the multiplicity of translations, and centuries of attacks, yet it remains pure. The Word of God has been tried, it has been tested, and it has proved to be unbreakable. Unfailing, perfect, pure in every way. It's been tried and tested by men and women of faith who have gone through difficult times and have found that by trusting the Word of God and the promises of the Word of God, God was able to raise them up through trial and deliver them. They have put God's Word to the test and have found it to be perfect, pure in every way. So we have the pure Word of God. Verse 7 tells us that we have the preserved Word of God. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So the Word of God is guarded or kept by God Himself. And the word keep there refers to a hedging about for protection. God is the one who, as it were, places a protective boundary around His word. He's the one who keeps it from wicked men who would destroy it. And no matter how many people have tried over the last 2,000 years, none of them have been able to destroy the word of God. He has kept His word. It has been preserved. God is the one who preserves it. God is the one who maintains the purity of His Word that we just spoke about. God has maintained the purity of the Bible, and we believe that the King James Bible, as we have it here today, that we hold in our hands, is more than just a rough copy of what was originally spoken. The King James Bible doesn't just contain the words of God, but it actually is the Word of God in the English language. I believe that with my whole heart. This is not just a book that contains a rough idea of what God said or a pretty close copy of what God said. God promised to preserve His word, and if He can't do that, then how can you trust Him for anything else? So if you start saying, no, God did not preserve his word like he promised to, well then, where is your faith, my friend? What are you placing your faith in? Are you placing your faith in a God who doesn't keep his promises? That's not a very good start for your faith, for your salvation. God promised to preserve his word. I believe he has, and I believe that what we have here in the King James Bible is the word of God in the English language. Men have come up with many, many other so-called translations. And the devil keeps using them to keep people guessing about what God's word actually says. But we are confident that we still have the word of God here in its purity in the King James Bible we use today. And that is why we will not be using any other Bible versions here in this church. Three, the prospecting in God's word. As we come a bit more towards the application here, the word of God, again, is as pure silver. Now, I'm sure that all of you have seen at some point in time in your life something that was made of silver. And oftentimes, our ladies like to wear maybe a necklace that is silver or a bracelet or whatever. So I'm sure you've seen something made of silver in your life. Silver is a precious metal. When it is purified and properly polished, it has a bright, light-reflecting finish to it. It's quite appealing. And so it is only natural that when we see something that has such a purity to it, we stop and admire it for its beauty. But even a bar of purest silver has a tiny imperfection somewhere in it. Now you can look this up online. Even the purest silver that we have today, they can't get the last tiny little imperfections out of it, okay? It's like 99.99999% pure. That's really pure, but the Word of God is totally without error. It is totally pure. From Genesis to Revelation, it is perfect. So when the psalm says God's words are as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, the emphasis is not that God's word is merely very pure by human standards. But rather, David takes the highest purity concept known to man and uses it to point beyond human possibility to divine perfection. So we're using a human comparison here when we say that the word of God is pure to point to a divine perfection in the Word of God. There is, in other words, there is nothing else in this world, in this life, that compares with the Word of God for perfection. Silver is very precious, is it not? Today, silver is worth about $4,200 per kilogram in bullion. That's a fair bit of money for what is really a small amount of metal. I mean, if you take a kilo of iron and ask someone to pay anything more than a couple of dollars for it, good luck. But we value silver. It's a precious metal. It has a certain amount of worth in this world. But as expensive as silver is, it still isn't worth anywhere near as much as the Word of God. And when we opened the message this morning, I said to you, many Christians will say to you, oh yes, I believe that the Word of God is invaluable. But they don't view it that way when it comes time to do their personal Bible study. The Word of God is far more valuable than $4,200 per kilogram. The Word of God is not just described in the Bible as being as silver, though. Look in Psalm 19. Just over a couple of pages there for you. Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The word of God is compared as well to gold. The judgments of the Lord, that's a reference to his judgments, his statutes, his commandments. They refer to the word of God as we have it today. Have you ever found yourself going about your day and just being amazed at yourself for never making any wrong decisions? Me neither. It just doesn't happen, does it? You know, we often make bad choices. We don't always know what's right and what's wrong, but the Word of God is always right. It is always true. You can always trust it in every situation. That is why it is so valuable to the Christian, because the Word of God is the only thing that you can go to in this life, and you're guaranteed that you will find 100% true counsel. Now, you can go to any counselor, you can go to a Christian counselor even, and you can hear some good words, some good advice, but they are not infallible. The Word of God is. That's why it ought to be so valuable to you. It's God's message to man. And God is perfect, unchanging. And so it's compared in value to gold. The value of gold bullion in Australia right now is somewhere around $200,000 per kilogram in bullion, from what I looked up the other day. Now, that is a huge amount of money. That's a lot of money. But, you know, as much as gold looks good, and some of us probably even have some on our wedding finger today, not me, but I used to, gold looks good. It's worth a lot. But the Word of God is still described as being far better than gold, yea, than much fine gold. It's better than that. It's better than the finest gold that you have. The finest gold you can even get your hands on does not compare to the value of the Word of God. The Word of God is just full of riches far greater than any mine on this planet. Doesn't matter where you go on this planet. You can go with Brother Lapis to where he works out at the mine there. That mine, as much material they might draw out of it, cannot hope to draw out the sort of value that you would find by just spending time in the Word of God. Whether it be iron, nickel, silver, diamonds, I don't care what you're mining. You will not find a mine that compares with the Word of God. You can't do it. That is how God describes His Word. And so our attitude towards the Word of God then reflects the value that we really place on it. Your attitude towards your time in God's Word reflects how much you really value it. If you spend time searching the Word of God and studying it and seeking to draw out the deeper truths and trying to really understand it, you show that you value what God has to say. But if your attitude is to come to this mine and brush over it with a little bit of a sweep and go, oh, I'll just take the dust off the top there, that reveals that you do not value the Word of God like you say you do. If you spend very little time studying God's Word, then you don't really see it as being as pure as silver, purified seven times in the fire, and more to be desired than much fine gold, do you? When you learn to value God's Word as the psalmist did, you'll put in the time and effort to exploring this mine and drawing out the gold which you've only been scratching the surface of up until now. So in conclusion, if I went out into a field today with a metal detector, and I set this metal detector to specifically detect gold. And there I am out in the field, and as I search, suddenly the detector, I hit this patch of ground where the detector is just going nuts. It is going berserk. It's beeping like crazy, and I realize I've scored big. I mean, boy, have I hit the jackpot. And so I come to you and I say, look, I've really hit the jackpot. Bring the shovels. We're going to go out and dig this up. And I mean, I know that this is a big chunk of gold down here. Just how excited would you be? I tell you, I'd be excited. I mean, if not for the joy of pulling up something of such value in this world, but just for the thrill of the hunt. That's how we blokes are. We love the hunt, you know. It's not necessarily the having, it's the getting at times. I'd be excited. And there we go out into the field with these shovels, and we start digging, and we're excited about this. Why? Because we know that there is something of great value to be found there. Now, what if I handed you your Bible this morning and I said, there it is, the biggest gold mine you will ever see, the biggest mine you will ever lay your eyes on, and all you have to do is start digging. How excited would you be? I bet you'd be a bit underwhelmed. Oh, sure, on the outside good on you, yep, I get it. Yeah, okay. I can't argue with it, but our attitude is not the way it ought to be. Our attitude towards the Word of God is not that, here I have it, it's everything that I need for life and godliness, and it's a mind that has untapped wealth right there. And all I have to do is start digging. And I can draw that out. And our attitude is, yeah, I'll take that little bit. And then we put the rest of the mine back down and we walk away. People don't do that when they land upon a mine. How many of you have heard of gold rushes? I mean, surely you have. Someone finds gold, and before you know it, a town pops up where one person found gold. You think, how on earth did that happen? Hey, people heard there was gold there, and they dashed there to get their bit. And people hear that there's gold here, and they go, yeah, look, that's not really my time that I'm going to invest in that. I'll leave that to somebody else to draw that out. I'll tell you what, I'll leave it to the preacher. He can do all the digging, he can draw out the gold, and then he can come around and give us all a little bit out of his bucket, okay? I said at the beginning, many Christians don't take Bible study seriously. Well, that's because they don't genuinely see the Bible as a mine of wealth that is just waiting to be tapped into. All they see is an old book with some helpful stories, good lessons for life, and little more. How do you view the Word of God? I mean, you've got it right there in your hands this morning. But how do you treat it? What is your approach? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to be one of those people who gets up every morning and takes their mine and goes, just dust it off a bit? Just a quick skim, just to get me just enough to get through this day maybe? Or are you someone who picks it up and says, now, God, I want you to speak to me today, and I'm going to spend some time searching your word to know your will and your way and your mind on these things. I want you to tell me, as I look into your word, I want you to give me that perfect reflection that tells me where I need to change. And then I'll do something about it. What's your approach? God says his word is of such great value. It's like that silver that's been tried seven times, purified in a furnace of earth seven times. It's preserved forever. That means what you draw out today is good for tomorrow and for the next day and on into the future. Every time you draw something more out of the Word of God, you can hang on to that. You can put that in your bag of gold that you've dug out, and you can keep that forever. But how many of us put it aside and say, look, as big as the mine is, I won't put in the effort? And that's our approach. What will your approach be?